I welcome you now to number one for the course, Communication for Administrators. Perhaps we could begin with what we could call an introduction to communication for administrators. Communicating is one of the most fundamental components of the manager's job. For example, consider these facts. In a recent survey of 1,500 senior executives from 20 different countries, 89% saw communication as a key to CEO effectiveness. A second thing, in a recent year, business generated 31 billion original documents and 630 billion pieces of mail at an average cost of $6.07 per letter. In total, business spends approximately $660 billion a day on office communication. Over 80% of the managers in one study identified communication as the primary source of problems on the job. Managers, of course, spend most of their time communicating with others. Research confirms what any manager knows intuitively. Communication competency is a fundamental aspect of job performance and managerial effectiveness. And communication breakdowns can create serious problems. In this course, we want to present important communication concepts and some practical guidelines for improving your communication effectiveness. Myron Rush has written, "As our rapid pace, jet-propelled society rockets into the 21st century, it possesses the most sophisticated means of communication ever known to man. Modern electronic technology has made it possible for a man on the moon to converse with people on Earth. And computer science is making it possible for man to converse with computers, which store and retrieve information in seconds that only a few short years ago took days and even weeks to process. But even though man has developed highly sophisticated electronic communication equipment, he still has problems with face-to-face communication. In fact, recent studies conducted by management training systems with numerous organizations indicated that poor communication was their number one leadership and management problem. Note that communication is the development of understanding. Communication is the key to developing group identity, group unity, group commitment, and certainly group motivation to complete the work. It also provides the outlet for unlimited innovation and creative achievements. However, once understanding breaks down, unity, commitment, motivation, and group creativity are lost, and the project fails. Some of the greatest statements ever made were the simplest. The Gettysburg Address has 267 words. The Declaration of Independence contains 1,322 words. By contrast, a recent government regulation on the sale of cabbage contains 26,901 words. The trend toward wordiness is one of the major causes of communication problems. Feeling inadequate as a communicator is certainly an experience common to most of us, at least at times. However, every good leader is and must be a good communicator. He has the ability to convey understanding to others. Good communication develops and maintains unity, commitment and motivation in achieving the goal. In fact, communication is the lifeblood of an organization. Without effective communication, the group is going to die. Communication begins with the speaker making sure he clearly understands what he wants to communicate. He must be careful to choose the proper words and the proper actions to transmit his message simply and correctly. Both speaker and listener must become aware of the numerous communication barriers that hamper understanding and work to minimize their impact on the communication process. The listener plays a vital role in effective communication. He must concentrate to hear what is actually said. The listener must learn to listen to the meaning behind the words being spoken, because 93% of the message is communicated in the tone of voice and through various non-verbal actions. The good communicator speaks accurately and listens properly. He states clearly and simply what he thinks and feels, and then listens effectively to the thoughts and feelings of others. Peter Drucker, internationally known management consultant, reminds us that people are not mind readers. Now, that, it would seem, would be very obvious. But at times, managers seem to operate in a fashion that would indicate they believe the reverse. They seem to believe that people are mind readers. Drucker uses this statement to emphasize the importance of clear and open communication in organizational settings. Think how often you assume that others should understand your actions without telling them why you did what you did. Or how often you assume you knew what another person thought without asking directly. Richard Tuning, John Eby, and Shelley Rolls remind us that we communicate all the time by our behavior and our speech. But we cannot always be sure that what we think we are saying is what people are actually hearing. We normally have a good idea what it is we want to say, but there is less certainty in what others perceive. There are often significant gaps between our intentions and others' perceptions. Speaking clearly is important, but listening carefully is even more significant. Successful communication demands that we tailor our message to fit the nature and the capacity of the listener. Good communicators adapt language and illustrations that listeners will be able to understand. Communication for understanding is hard work. Robert E. Lee, the famous Civil War general, was noted for his diligent efforts to communicate in ways that his listeners understood. He never sent a communique to one of his generals before first asking a private to read the message. Then the private had to state in his own words what action was being requested. If he could not respond with the message Lee intended, Lee assumed the fault with his own lack of clarity and not the private's. He would then rewrite the message as many times as necessary to clarify it. Good communicators learn to listen while they are talking. They learn to read, as it were, their audience. They can identify the signals that say their audience is no longer paying attention. Facial expressions can indicate confusion and puzzlement. People communicate with their body language the entire time someone else is speaking. It's almost impossible for a person to maintain a solid poker face. That is a conscious effort not to communicate through the eyes, facial expression, nervous fidgeting, or body posture. Once we have spoken, we must also listen carefully to the feedback that we receive from others. Robert H. Waterman, Jr., in his book, The Renewal Factor, describes managers who constantly adjust and renew qualities in their organization and that keep them growing and on the cutting edge. In one chapter entitled A Different Mirror, he stresses the need for managers to be good listeners. They constantly listen, he says, for perceptions of their organization or ideas of how things can be improved. Hans Feinzel, in his book, The Top 10 Mistakes Leaders Make, reminds us that we should never assume that anyone knows anything. This is a core leadership principle. We can never communicate enough in our organizations. Like the pulsing red cells rushing through our veins, keeping our bodies alive, communication systems are the lifeblood of organizations. The folks at the far extremities desperately need to know what is going on in the minds of those at the leadership center. That is, if they are to feel comfortable, safe, and knowledgeable about their work. Feinzel reminds us that as organizations grow, the original group of founders can become an inside elite. Since they were there from the beginning, they have the most information and certainly the most power. Newcomers often feel left out and in the dark. In such a situation, the organization must move from the oral planning mode to a more formal written one. Remember, when the group is small, everyone knows the score because everyone has time to touch base with each other almost on a daily basis. But if your group grows, you as the leader cross a threshold where you can no longer physically stay in touch through informal means. Sooner or later, you must put your plans down in writing and spell out your direction clearly. Now, that doesn't mean that plans won't change, but it does mean that everyone knows the rules of the game. It means that you're trying to conquer the same mountain and to do it together, so to speak, a unity of goals, a unity of direction. The higher you go in leadership, the more sensitive you have to be about everything you communicate. Feinzel calls this becoming aware of communication linkages. Every time a phone call is made or a letter is written, the manager must ask what people are affected by this decision, this letter, this memo, this directive. What are the linkages? It is important that copies of memos or letters are sent to various other people to make sure that they are aware of the decisions and the actions. It's important to understand that the manager must not only communicate decisions clearly, but quite often he must clear those decisions with a number of colleagues before actually finalizing them. There are times when great damage can be done by unilaterally doing something without conferring with key individuals involved. Everyone is important. Everyone has a right and a need to know what's going on in the organization. The big news, as well as the little details. The more people are informed, the more they feel a part of the whole organization, and the less chance there is for misunderstandings. Max Dupree, in his book, Leadership is an Art, has written, "A number of obligations go along with good communication. We must understand that access to pertinent information is essential to getting the job done. The right to know is basic. Moreover, it is better to err on the side of sharing too much information than risk leaving someone in the dark. Information is power. But it is pointless power if it is hoarded. Power must be shared for an organization or a relationship to work." Dupree continued, "Everyone has a right to and an obligation for simplicity and clarity in communication. We owe each other truth and courtesy, though truth is sometimes a real constraint and courtesy inconvenient. But make no mistake, these are qualities that allow communication to educate and liberate us. Feinzel suggests certain action steps for the manager administrator to implement to keep the life of the organization growing. Here are just some things he mentions. Number one, keep memos brief. Number two, include one-page summaries on the top of lengthy reports. Number three, use faxes and email to keep communication fresh and up to the minute. Number four, produce a concise written statement of vision and objectives that can be distributed throughout the organization. Number five, have stand-up meetings to avoid too many lengthy discussions. Number six, develop an in-house newsletter for weekly communication to the insiders. Number seven, manage by wandering around. Stay in face-to-face contact with your key workers. Number eight, as the leader, preach the vision to insiders as much as you do to outsiders. The point is to keep in touch with your followers. The following principles would certainly help implement this key concept. First of all, make internal communications a top priority for your job. Secondly, keep your followers informed as to what you expect of them. Number three, find ways to articulate and communicate vision and values. Fourthly, make sure that formal communication systems are in place. Number five, avoid the great surprise. If people are not doing their jobs well, tell them so. Number six, we saw this a moment ago, manage by wandering around. Number seven, find ways to tap into the underground within your organization. The underground is often fed by a communicative device, usually identified as the grapevine. And number eight, practice hot communication. That is, for the H, honest, O, open, T, transparent. Practice hot communication. That is honest, open, and transparent. Remember, nothing happens until people talk. One of the problems in communication is the failure of people who have concerns to discuss them directly with those who are involved. Call it gossip, complaining, whatever you will, it is usually just plain undercutting of those who irritate us.